Blog Talk Radio.
With the cast of Avengers 2 Age of Ultron, and this is a Healing Hands magazine program and our sponsor. We're going to speak with Aaron Taylor, Liz Olson, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, and Mark Ruffalo. First is Aaron Taylor and Liz Olson. We're interviewing them, the cast of Avengers 2.
Hey, first of all, guys, tell us about your character's brother and sister bond and why that's important to the film.
Well, I think our characters, the heart of their story is their connected history with each other and their familial history, and their ultimate goal is to protect each other, and then the next ultimate goal is to protect where they come from, Sokovia.
They're all they have in the world,
yeah.
And they're these twins that, you know, very much sort of yin and yang. They sort of, you know, balance each other, and she's very kind of nurturing and loving towards him, and he is, but in a very kind of protective, kind of boisterous kind of way, you know, with his sort of supersonic speed. He's very quick at tempered and hot-headed, and she's more sort of calmer and thoughtful, but them two as a force kind of really stir some serious chaos within the Avengers, you know.
Yeah.
Now, you guys, both your characters bring powers to the cinematic universe that we've never really even seen before. So describe each of your characters' powers and how they're used in the film.
I have the power of telekinesis, and I can also manipulate people's minds. And there's really no blueprint to how Scarlet Witch would move with her magic and her powers and how she would manipulate energy. So we would just... from the images from the comics, we created a movement from that, and that was really special and fun. And it was it's also really nice to be able to play a character that can have mind control. I think that's really cool, even though I can't actually do anything like that. I can pretend.
Ever Quicksilver?
I had to perfect the skid, you know, the skid in and then the quickly dash out kind of thing, you know. I did do a lot of the running anyway, you know. It just got sped up and then they added, you know, a blur to it. So, but it was a lot of fun, you know. I trained sort of in that sort of sprinting kind of routine of, you know, workout to kind of have that sort of mentality and physique and stuff like that. So.
Now, you guys have had the opportunity to work with each other before. How did that help you in moving into Avengers Age of Ultron?
Like, that was major help.
Yeah.
Turning, you know, it's like kind of going on with an ally, so I'm just stepping onto this set. It felt like, you know, it was going to be really scary, but everyone was really lovely and wasn't scary, but...
It makes us have, like, an easier rapport with each other as the characters as well, and it wasn't like, hey, nice to meet you, let's figure out how intimate we are. Like, we already know each other, we already know how to communicate with each other. It kind of speeds up a process, and we already, I feel safe working with Aaron. I feel like I'm in good hands, so.
Vice versa, so, yeah, no, yeah. It felt very comforting to go on to set with Lizzie, too.
Talk about your experience in working with a director like Joss Whedon on this film.
He's incredible. He has so much to balance. Like, not only, like, all these characters, but how everything's going to look at the end and how the story's tracking. And, like, I mean, I don't understand how he's able to keep everything connected at all times. And you can ask him any kind of question at any time, and you could be talking about a scene that you're filming in a few days, and it's, you know, everything's jumbled, but he knows exactly what's going on at all times. It's incredible.
He's genius. He's sort of really kind of puppeteering it all together, and you know, it's the script was incredible. How he kind of manipulated each character, you could really see the voice come off the page. So he's pretty genius, man.
Yeah.
You have both been part of big franchises before, but maybe nothing to this scale. What has it been like, both in terms of maybe the pressure that you feel from the fans and the excitement you feel from the fans, and coming onto this film that maybe you haven't felt in others in your careers?
The excitement, you say.
Yeah.
It's huge. I was watching it the other day and was like, damn, we're in another awesome movie. Like, and that, but like, I feel like it just sort of slipped and landed in this, like, you know, awesome movie. Like, it's so cool.
It is really cool.
You know,
the pressure, I mean, that kind of stuff is so out of your control that you just try and do what you think is right for the character, and what Joss and Kevin Feige think is right for the character, and you guys create something together. And I don't think Marvel's ever steered anyone wrong, so it's kind of a nice gang to be a part of.
I'm going to speak with Chris Hemsworth and Chris Evans, and we're interviewing the cast of Avengers 2.
In the Avengers Age of Ultron than what we've seen him before?
Well, I wanted him to. I wanted to sort of get back to, you know, the sort of fun he had in the first film a bit, and make him a little more kind of grounded and just humanize him a bit. You know, it's very easy for these characters to become unrelatable and exist off in the stratosphere, and, you know, and this was about, you know, just making him more human. You know, and we see in one of the first scenes in the trailers, we've seen the scene where they're trying to pick up the hammer and they're in casual gear, and it's like, what do these guys do when they're not saving the world? And that was fun for me, and any time we got to do that and play around with was the best part.
Would you guys see both Captain America and Thor kind of as kindred souls, and how that dynamic works between the two of them when you guys are on screen together?
Lovers, kindred souls,
you know,
kindred
just,
spirits.
Yeah. You read the press notes.
Yeah, well, I mean, there certainly is.
Just forever. You know, we wear necklaces with a little broken heart, and when we put them together,
it's a whole lot. he's the Jerry Maguire to my Renee Zellweger.
But I
want to
be Renee. You can be... No, I'll be
you
Tom.
You
want to
be Tom?
I'll be Tom.
Jerry Maguire.
I'll be Tom. You can be Renee.
He's the Jerry to the my Maguire. How's that?
Now, you guys have both had the opportunity to play your characters with other directors at the same time, and then come back and work with Joss. What was it like coming back and working with Joss again?
Nightmare.
Nightmare.
It's strange. It's tricky for him because, you know, when you go to your individual movie, or should I say, when you're on the Avengers films, you have all these people that we know very well, and it really is like, you know, it's like a party, and everyone's... It's hard to wrangle everybody, and I think Joss has his...
We heard shut up quite a few times.
A lot.
Except from Joss.
Guys, hey, shut up!
Shut up!
You just kind of...
I was like, Chris, was Evans, who was...
We're in trouble. Like, you feel like you're 12 years old in trouble at school. We have to work.
The Avengers have always been a really incredible ensemble. Avengers Age of Ultron takes it up another level. What was it like getting back together with that whole group again and with the addition of a few other people as well?
I think we just answered that.
But we'll try it again. Yeah, I know. You're reading.
How about this? How about what was it like welcoming the new cast?
The new cast.
The new
cast. We'll segue to the new.
We just didn't talk to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're
hang
on.
Shun them.
Are they going to
It's
you know,
a
take
hazing process.
Time?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, think, you know what, there's only enough room for so many superheroes. Take
beat
a hike.
Beat it. No, they were awesome. Those guys, it was actually kind of cool because it, you know, you kind of get too comfortable almost and you know everyone's rhythms and then a few people get thrown in the mix and it gets disrupted in the best way and, you know, that's why I think people love this film and even more so than the first one I've heard. And I think because there's new additions, you know.
New blood.
Yeah.
And they were great. You know, being the new guy on the playground, it's got to be tough. But it was seamless, you know what I mean? By day three or four, Lizzie just fell. You know, Aaron was like, yeah, they're Avengers. It was effortless.
Cool, yeah.
Now, every Marvel movie brings something unique and different to its audience. What is it that you guys are hoping the audience gets out of Avengers Age of Ultron?
I hate that question. Sorry. What can the audience expect?
I don't know.
Well, it's hard to say without giving away the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There you go. That's good. That's a good deflection.
Yeah. Good. What can they expect? I mean, I think in the first team, it was about them coming together as a team and trying to work out who's going to lead and what have you, and they sorted that out.
Me.
And then, it's debatable still. And in this one, they're like, you know what? Thor's clearly the strongest and the coolest and the smartest. So let's follow him. And that's how the film plays out.
There it is. You heard it here. Now you know.
Gotcha.
Next, we're going to talk to Scarlett Johansson and Mark Ruffalo. We're interviewing the cast of Avengers 2. Age of Ultron. If you'd like to call in and speak with some of our cast members, the call-in number is area code 619-639-4715. And stick around. We're going to talk a little bit after we interview them.
All right, we'll start with this. In this movie, Black Widow and Dr. Banner have a closer relationship than they've had in the previous ones. Can you describe that relationship from each of their characters' points of view?
These characters have a much, what I always thought was a very unlikely, love story that buds between them actually kind of is, it's actually in truth rooted in, a very likely love story. These characters have a lot in common. They are two people that are really, I think idealizing this future that they have, that they could have with one another. And which is, you know, which is really a result of their past, I think, the fact that they have this kind of fantasy of, you know, a normal life, finding themselves in another person and being able to live their life together. They have this one side of them that draws them, and then this other side that is the kind of divine, this kind of fate that they are, you know, in store for. And it's a very complicated relationship that they have, a kind of impossible love that seems unlikely but isn't.
How would Bruce Banner define their relationship?
Impossible.
But, why did you make everything so hard?
But desirable. I think he wants that more than anything, and it's a completely undeveloped part of who he is, and so I think these two people are the ultimate outsiders inside the Avengers, and I feel like they innocently sort of fumble into these feelings that I don't think I'd have expected to have, but are very satisfying.
Aww. Innocently fumble.
Is that?
That's
good
sweet.
Turn of a phrase.
Yeah. Mark, tell us a bit about how the relationship between like Bruce and Tony has evolved and changed to where we find it in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Well, they really started working together in Age of Ultron. And, you know, Tony's always pushing Banner and pushing, you know, he pushes everything past the limits. And Banner doesn't necessarily like that. But also Banner's, you know, a renegade enough that he actually experimented on himself. And so I think they both head into this, they both develop this artificial intelligence together spoiler alert, completely goes out of control. I think everyone knows by now.
Scarlett, tell us a little bit about how not only the emotional relationship between, you know, Natasha and Bruce, but also she becomes an important tool in helping to deal with the Hulk. So talk a little bit about her role in helping the Avengers with the Hulk in general.
How does Natasha tame the Beast? Very good question. It's interesting that she does it with a human touch, I think, because I imagine that the last thing that anybody would... your every instinct is telling you, like, not to touch the Hulk, you know, and, like, he is also, like, putting that out there. He doesn't, like, want to turn back. He is, like, not the person that you, like, grab and give a bear hug to. And yet, like, somehow it's almost in some ways like he's, like, it's like a kind of raging person that, like, needs a bear hug in a sense, or, like, a tender bear hug,
yes.
But, like, needs somebody to, like, kind of come behind them and, like, remind them that they're, like, grounded and there's somebody with them and they're, like, present and, like, come back to yourself. And it's kind of like a therapeutic thing that she develops with Hulk. And, you know, I think that probably comes from her own maybe maternal instinct that she has.
Now, because of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you guys are never too far separated from each other, like the whole cast.
Thank
but
God!
It,
I know.
What was it like getting the whole cast back together again for this one?
It was fun. I mean, it's such a great group of people, and we've all sort of have grown together and had families, and then we don't see each other for a long time, and we come back together, and it's sort of like we're off again. And it's playful. Everyone's super fun and thoughtful and generous and has great sense of humor, very playful. I just feel bad for Joss, who has to try to wrangle this herd of cats and get us to do something simultaneously. But yeah.
Like say lines.
Yeah,
or,
like say
lines. You know,
act.
Yeah. Act, or you know, like go in certain directions.
To a
mark.
Direction.
Yeah.
Yes. Understand what the scenes about those kinds of little
yeah.
things.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot.
Did you know that sunscreen is effective for 3 years after purchase? After that, some chemists say that they may still be effective for another year. But there's no way for you to safely test them. So the self-defense is to discard unused sunscreen after 3 years. And it's important. Discard sunscreen immediately if it appears runny or starts to smell, has a little foul odor to it, or smells strange. And this can happen if it's left in a hot car for too long. So during the summer months, you really have to watch your sunscreen. Did you know that a day without sunshine is not good? Total sun avoidance is not helpful for you. The human body needs some sun exposure to synthesize vitamin D. Merely 5 to 10 minutes a day is enough. And only a little bit of your skin needs to be exposed. Even if it's just a toe or part of your hand, your body will absorb sunlight. You know, our skin changes over time, and the most exposed area of our body, particularly the face, scalp, and arms, are the most likely to develop spots, dryness, wrinkles, or maybe possibly develop skin cancer. The best form of protection is to use sunscreen. It's inexpensive and available without a prescription. If men use sunscreen instead of aftershave, they'd prevent many skin problems. Use a sunscreen factor SPF of 30 or 50, preferably 50, whenever you go out in the sun. You know, smoking yellows the skin and dries it out and greatly increases wrinkling, especially around the mouth. So if you're a smoker, you want to
extra moisturize yourself. And complaints of dry skin are extremely common after the age of 50 for good reasons, because your skin uses less oil. Manufactures less oil. Some oil glands in the skin stop producing the oil needed for lubrication. You know, overwashing. We are a nation in the U.S. of clean freaks. We routinely wash away the oil layer that normally acts like a plastic wrap, sealing in moisture. So it's better to bathe every other day and don't scrub too hard. I mean, I have to shower every day. That's what's recommended, but you really should. A shower equals an infinite number of rinsing. So sloshing around in a tub removes less oil. Did you know that? Use tepid water. Just as hot water flushes grease from dirty dishes, it also flushes protective oils from your skin. And choose a mild soap. A major cause of dry skin is the daily use of harsh soaps and antibacterial soaps. Good mild soaps, with like Dove, for example, is great for your skin. You know, sunlight is not the only way to treat skin. Skin cancer has been linked to birthmarks, old scars, and skin ulcers. People with undergoing chemotherapy or eye on our skin. And check it frequently. Also, skin cancer. Let's talk about how to protect yourself. A prescription skin cream containing 10% of vitamin C will reduce wrinkling and age spots in patients who use it for 8 months. The vitamin instructs skin cells to produce new collagen, plumping the skin slightly. You know, there's a cream called Celex. The cream delivers 20 to 40 times the amount of vitamins that can be absorbed better than the pill does. The United States is facing a growing epidemic of malignant melanoma, the deadliest form of skin cancer. There has been a dramatic increase in the number of new cases reported. Why the increase? We don't exactly know to what degree sunscreens really protect us, and not enough people are using it. The most important question is there any type of skin protection for skin cancer? Over the past 20 years, countless studies have shown that sunscreen is effective in preventing both sunburn and skin cancer. Sunscreen is not 100% effective, and wearing it does not give you complete freedom to bask in the sun all day. Look for a sunscreen that offers protection against both forms of ultraviolet light, UVA and UVB. UVB rays pose a greater threat of sunburn and skin cancer than UVA rays do. However, UVA rays can still be harmful if you are in the sun for prolonged periods of time. Your sunscreen should have a sun protection factor of at least 15, and if you plan to go swimming, it should be water resistant. With an SPF 15 sunscreen, you can remain burn-free for 15 times longer than you would with unprotected skin. In regions where the sun rays are particularly strong, such as in the south, use sunblock in addition to sunscreen. You know, there is boating danger. Let's talk about that. Pleasure boaters are vulnerable to carbon monoxide poisoning. Did you know that? Air currents created behind a moving boat can draw carbon monoxide, colorless and odorless from the engine exhaust into the boat. You know, during the summer months, everyone's in the sun, they're boating, they're just having fun. But did you know, in a study of 27 onboard carbon monoxide poisoning, 21 involved engine exhaust, 4 involved emissions from onboard water heaters, and 2 involved emissions from gas generators. Many carbon monoxide poisoning cases go unreported because boaters blame their symptoms, headaches, nausea, dizziness, and vomiting, or seasickness. Carbon monoxide warning sensor with an alarm in all gasoline-fueled cabin cruisers, just like you would in a home. Got to watch out for boats. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about smoke stroke diagnosis and danger. Headaches, confusion, temporary blindness, seizures, and other stroke-like symptoms are sometimes caused by a less serious disorder called reversible, predominantly posterior. Some doctors begin treatment for stroke when the patient really needs adjustment of his or her blood pressure or immunosuppression medication. With proper treatment, patients with RPPL usually recover within days. RPPL is common among patients with high blood pressure and those taking immunosuppressant drugs after transplant surgery. It occurs when capillaries leak fluid into the brain. And Dr. Kaplan, professor of neurology and medicine at Harvard Medical School, gives us a lot of suggestions about that. You may want to look at Healing Hands Magazine, www.healingmagazine.com, for exciting articles. And come back and talk to us next and listen to us next time. Have a wonderful week and a wonderful year. Drink your green tea and stay healthy.
better now, feel better now. Here we go.